Good morning and welcome to Jubilee Church Shepparton. As Dave said, my name is Tim and I'm part of the leadership team. And today we're going to wrap up our series looking at Jesus Christ, Dangerous Revolutionary. And as Dave said, I really enjoyed the series as well, as over the last few months we've been looking at Jesus' character and we've been looking at some of the challenging things that Jesus had to say and still has to say to us today. And we're going to be wrapping up this series looking at what Jesus had to say on himself. Do you know, this time of year is it's holiday season, which is why I'm wearing this nice Hawaiian shirt. Maybe if you're watching this on the premiere, maybe put a thumbs up or a thumbs down if you think Hawaiian shirts are great or if you think they are cringy and awful and should never be worn in public. Let us know what your thoughts are. But when you book a holiday, so when you think about booking a holiday, you ask all those big questions like, where are we going to go? And you normally start with that question of, where are we going and where's the destination? What sort of holiday do we want? What looks nice this time of year? Do we want a holiday that's action and adventure, or maybe peace and quiet? Are we looking for sun and sea? Are we looking for mountains? Are we looking for a city break or even snow perhaps? But you usually start with the destination of where are we going. And once you might have settled on a place, you might pick up one of these, like a brochure. This is kind of an eyewitness travel on Italy. And you might start flicking through it once you've settled on a destination, thinking, we want to make sure that we go to the right places to eat, that we know the best attractions to visit in our time when we go on holiday. So you might be flicking through to be more like a local. And then you start that question of, well, how are we going to get there? Perhaps we're gonna fly, take an airline, maybe even go on a cruise, maybe even go by train. Or perhaps we're even gonna drive, and almost as we are right now, doing a bit of a staycation and seeing the different sites. But once you've settled on that, you then book something. We book our ticket with who we're gonna fly with, where our hotel's gonna be, and then we wait. And we wait until the holiday comes around. And when it does come around, if you're going via plane, you go to the airport, you kind of get there a couple of hours earlier, you check your baggage, you go to the airline check-in desk, you get your boarding pass, you then go through passport control, and you go through all the security checks, and you get into the gate, and you're waiting for your row to be called so you can go and board the plane. And if you're anything like me, when you are sat in the chair on the plane, you're thinking, ah, now I can start to relax because it's almost too late. If I've forgotten something, well, it's too late. I can't necessarily do anything about that. So you kind of think, well, actually, can we just take off pilot? Can we just go to our destination, captain? And then you land, you maybe get to the hotel, and you kind of have that, ah, this is nice. We've made it. We can now just start to relax. I hope for you that some of your experiences with booking a holiday and obviously going on holiday, but like holiday booking, life can sometimes be a bit like that, where we can have some of those really, you know, big questions and so many questions. You know, where am I going in life? Will I meet anyone? What am I going to do for work? What should we watch on Netflix? You know, perhaps, or is life going to be like this now? That's sort of some of the questions we're asking in the current situation that we're in. You know, what shall I have for dinner? Or perhaps even, is there even anything after death? Or is this just it? And we're going to be looking at what Jesus said about himself. And then looking in John chapter 14, verse 6. And before we do, here's a brief bit of context to kind of help us as we prepare. So Jesus, his friends, the disciples, don't know this yet, but as we pick up this part of the story, Jesus is fast approaching the end of his ministry, the end of his time on earth with the disciples. And if it was in a meeting context, he's kind of getting to any other business. And then what we find in John chapters 14 through almost to 18 is large dialogues where Jesus is just providing guidance, he's providing instructions. and encouragements to his friends, his disciples, so they can be prepared for when he goes. So what we see is that in John chapter 14, just before this, Jesus is comforting his disciples, and he's telling them that he is going ahead of them to a place in his Father's house to prepare somewhere for them. And it's not, and the good news is there's so much capacity, there's loads of space. It's not like what we have right now where we're thinking, oh, there's, you know, two households of up to six people, or, you know, two households inside together. It's none of that. He's saying, in my Father's house, there is plenty of space, because my Father's house has many rooms. And Jesus had a very mixed group of friends. And one of his friends, called Thomas, got this really unfortunate nickname throughout all of history. He got called Doubting Thomas. But I kind of sometimes, when I'm reading it, just think Thomas is that sort of guy that just wants to have those I's dotted and those T's crossed with everything. And so when Jesus is just saying to them, you know the way to the place where I'm going, and you can probably imagine everyone else maybe just nodding, thinking, But not Thomas. Thomas is brave. Thomas says, excuse me, Lord, we actually don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And then Jesus, probably with one of those playful smiles as we explored right at the beginning of this series, turns to his friends, turns to the group, and he says this in John chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus lands the disciples with this clear statement of exclusivity. And we're going to explore these three aspects this morning. So Jesus is saying he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. So Jesus said, I am the way. You know, like our airplane, like our airline, Jesus is saying, I am the mechanism. I am literally the way, the mode of transport to which you are going to get to your destination, the destination of life. And you may be asking that question, well, is there more to life than this? And it was absolutely intended for there to be more to life than this. We were designed, we were created to have a full relationship with God, an intimate relationship with God. Dave spoke last week to us about how our fulfillment comes from God and not from other things. And a more fulfilling relationship than you might have with a friend, with a spouse, with a boyfriend, with a girlfriend, with a family member, a relationship that is whole and is complete. But instead, as one of the early church leaders, a guy called Paul, wrote in the book of Romans, in chapter 1, he kind of summarized it like this. He said that we exchanged the glory of the immortal God. We exchanged glory of God. And instead, we worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator. So instead of living for God, what we did is we begin to live for ourselves or for our works or for our material goods. We worship things that by our hands that we have created, and then we raise them up and say, actually, I want to seek my fulfillment from them. I want to get everything that I need from them. So we start to build our identity, build our self-worth, our happiness on things, anything other than a relationship with God. So we end up sinning because we're looking to our careers, we're looking to romance, we're looking to family, we're looking to possessions or friendships or anything else that we have created or we have designed by our own hand to save us, rather than through relationship with God. And so this idolizing, this focusing on these things, what it leads to is it leads to a drivenness as we seek after those things. Dave shared that last week on possessions, about the guy who tore down his barn and decided to build bigger barns so he get even more grain. A drivenness in perhaps in our careers or addictions, perhaps, or severe anxiety as we're striving for the next thing and the next thing, and it will only be okay until we've got to this next level. Or obsessiveness, or perhaps even envy of others or comparison, and we start to resent. We start to be affected by those things that start to impact on our self-worth and our happiness instead of relationship with God. And so that same church leader, Paul, then carried on in his book to the Romans, he said, and the consequences are for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the consequence of exchanging this relationship for seeking fulfillment for a relationship with God instead of relationship and trying to get everything out of the things that we have created and we have raised up is death. But there is hope and there is a way, and God's gift to us is eternal life. And what that means is it's about rewinding that clock. So in terms of focusing on those things, we start to be able to return and focus on a life and the fulfillment through God, because it's through Jesus' death and his resurrection. And Jesus makes it clear that he is the way. Do you know that the storybook, we're going on a bear hunt, is 30 years old? Maybe that makes some of you feel a bit old. But the story is of a family who are going on a hunt to catch a big bear. And on their journey, they come across a variety of challenges. Uh-oh, grass, long, wavy grass. We can't go over it. We can't go under it. Oh, no, we've got to go through it. Swishy, swashy, swishy, swashy, swishy, swashy. We're going on a bear hunt. We're going to catch a big one. What a beautiful day. We're not scared. Oh, a river, a deep, cold river. We can't go over it. We can't go under it. Oh, no, we've got to go through it. Splash, 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 splash. Each challenge that his family they faced, they tried to find an alternative route. Can they go over it? No. Can they go under it? No. Each time, they had to go through what nature had put in front of them. And Jesus makes this exclusive claim that he is the way to the Father. And however we feel about this, it is an immovable truth. Can we go over Jesus to get to the Father? No. Can we go under Jesus to get to the Father? No. Can we find some other way around Jesus to get to the Father? No. The only way to the Father is through Jesus. And there is also good news for us today, because when we're faced with the questions of life or where to go or what to do, do you know that God absolutely loves it when we seek his guidance and we seek his encouragement and his direction? And Jesus is described in John's story of his life right at the beginning as the Word. And today we have the Word of God in the form of the Bible. And in Psalm 119, 105, it says this. It says, "Your Word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." You know, we can look to the Word of God to help illuminate our path and help guide us in the direction of where to go. And in another book in the Bible, in Isaiah chapter 30, verses 21, it says, "Whether you turn to the right or you turn to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" God wants to partner with us in our choices today. And when we seek him for guidance and answers, spend time listening to his voice saying, "Tim, this is the way I want you to go." He is the way to the Father for eternity. And he is the way to God in the here and the now as we live our lives. And then Jesus moves on. Jesus then says that he is the truth. What he is saying is he is the very ticket that we hold on to. And as you waiting in the gateway, you know, in the airport lounge, and you're waiting to get on the plane, you have your passport in hand, your identity, and you hold the ticket. And the ticket has the airline branding on it. It has your destination on there. It has where you are flying from. And more importantly, it has your name on it. Your seat number, it is your document, your authorization to board the plane. And we've been exploring Jesus' life over these past few months, exploring the integrity of his character and the truth of his messages for us today, as well as when he spoke them to those that he met. And Jesus is truth, and Jesus is the truth that we hold on to in this world as we go to the destination of life. And there's a famous scene from the film A Few Good Men. It's a courtroom film, and Tom Cruise's character is a lawyer from the Navy, and he's trying to protect and defend these two infantry people, men, and the only thing he can do to try and get them off or to reduce the sentence is to bait the general, Jack Nicholson's character, in the courtroom. And what you have is that famous outburst where Jack Nicholson's character says, "You can't handle the truth." And sometimes we might prefer, as we've been exploring this series, to brush over some of the things Jesus said because they're hard truths and they're uncomfortable truths. But like what we've heard above and like what we've been hearing through this series, there are consequences to our actions, but there is a way. And Jesus shares the truths with us. And when he was here, we read of those truths in the four stories all about his life. And this is the truth, that Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth. We read that in John 1:14. It said, Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that Jesus, he came with a purpose. He said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." And that Jesus, he came to reveal the way. "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." And that Jesus, he came to be the way. "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And why did he do this? "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save which was lost." Came to seek and to save you and me. And then we see the full truth revealed in one of the most famous verses in all of Scripture, that "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." And this is the truth, that for you and I to have life, he died. But he couldn't be paid the wages of sin, which is death, because he lived a life that fully maintained that original order of glorifying God and being a life dedicated to God. So death had no hold on him. So Jesus came back to life and he fulfilled his purpose. And for each one of us, there is a ticket and it has been purchased on our behalf. It has been paid for in full and it has our name on it. And it has a destination of life on there because he loves you. But we have to choose to accept it. We have to ask for the ticket. And the reality is that sometimes while we wait and we live our lives, we're going to hold on to this ticket tightly because there may be dull patches, there may be stormy patches in life. Hopefully there are wonderful times as well, but we have a hope and a promise and a certainty of where we're going, but we have a wait to be called there. And while we wait, it's important that we hold on to the truths that we can find in this book. And we think about giving up, that you know the plane might not take off, my name might not be called. Is this all worth it? Is it all worth hanging on for? We must hold on to the truths. We must hold on to the encouragements that we can find in this book. And Jesus shared some of these for us. He said, you know, if you're grieving, those who mourn will be comforted. And if you're feeling anxious, he said, all you who are feeling weary and heavy burden, come to me and I will give you rest. And when we are tempted, we can look at Jesus' story and Jesus' life and see that when he was tempted in the wilderness, the Holy Spirit was with him and the Holy Spirit helped him. And when we are afraid of the storms of life that might be swirling around us, we remember that when Jesus' friends were afraid in the middle of the storm, Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. I am here. Take courage." And if you feel persecuted, Jesus said, "If they persecute me, if they persecute me, they'll persecute you also." There are truths in this book that we must hold on to and cling to and take to heart as we live our lives in the wait for what is to come. And so the destination, where are we going? Our destination through Jesus, as it says on our ticket, is life. Jesus is the one who sustains all life. By his breath, everything is held in place. Right now, when you're watching at home this video, Jesus is sustaining this universe so that we may interact and we may live in it. Jesus is life. And for us, many of us today, he is working inside us. He is transforming us. He is shaping us and continuing to do a good work in us as we grow closer to him. And through him, through Jesus, he provides everlasting life for all those who call on his name. And I often think, well, what is that life going to look like? What is heaven going to look like? Is it going to be a place where I can just kick back with the heroes of faith, you know, looking at this story, hanging out with Moses, hanging out with Elijah, hanging out with friends within this church and this community when we get there? Will it be like that? Or will there be a chance to say, "God, where were you when this was happening in my life?" Or will I just be falling on my face, blinded by the glory and the radiance of God? And will I join in the chorus of those praising Jesus, the Lamb of God, singing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and strength and honor and glory and praise. And to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." Is life and life in the full, in the full relationship with God. Wow. A place where there is no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, no more hunger. A place of complete fulfillment. And Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." And when I think about that, I think, well, as we've been looking at the other sections, what about now? I'm encouraged to think about how Moses was in Exodus and he was praying to God and he says, "Please, God, show me your glory." And that we might be a praying community that's praying for the kingdom of heaven, that life where there's no pain, no suffering, no tears, to be breaking out in our community now, today, tomorrow, and in our lifetimes. That we pray for kingdom breakthrough of miraculous healings for those who are suffering and in pain. That we pray for kingdom breakthrough of provision, a generous heart. That we pray for kingdom breakthrough in the stirring to be compassionate for those in need. A stirring to be a forgiving people. A stirring to be a united people focused on bringing this good news of Jesus to our community. Because through Jesus there is life. And at the moment, a number of people, lots of people, many people are going to receive their payment of the wages of sin, which is death. That in this lifetime we would see kingdom breakthrough and we would see the kingdom of heaven come among us. So what do we see from this? We see in this exclusive claim that Jesus is the way for us to the Father. That Jesus is the truth that we hold on to, that ticket that we cling to for the destination of life, and that Jesus is not only a mechanism to life, but Jesus is life in the full. And in essence, Jesus plus nothing is everything. Everything for you and everything for me. Where are you going? And that leader, that church leader, Paul, wrote this in Romans. He said, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between people. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I want to just wrap up with some prayers for us. Perhaps if you're listening to this and you've never given your life to God and you want to right now, you want to give your life to Jesus right now, why don't you follow this prayer after me and say amen to this. Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, I believe that you gave your life for me and then rose from the dead so that I might have life. I'm sorry that I have been going my own way, serving the things of my heart. Please, will you save me? Amen. As we remember that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, recognize that for us right now, there may be different things in each of those that we might be looking for. Some of you might be thinking, I need Jesus to provide a way for me because I can't see a way forward right now. Perhaps even you're thinking, Jesus, I need you to share some truths with me that I can hold on to because time is tough right now, or I'd like some encouragement. Or perhaps even you need some kingdom breakthrough in your life. Let's pray these things together. Jesus, you are the way. I need your guidance and direction for this situation in my life. Please, will you show me the way? Jesus, you are the truth. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you that you have done it all for us. Please, Lord, will you remind us of truths to encourage and challenge us today? And Jesus, you are life, and you are life to the full. Lord, we ask that you would give us opportunities to share you with those we know. Jesus, we ask that you would reveal the glory of heaven in the everyday of our lives. That we would see kingdom breakthrough of miraculous healings, of generous provision, of compassion, and that we would see lives impacted and transformed in our community. Jesus, it is all about you, and we love you and we adore you. And Lord, please would you make yourself known more to us in our lives. Would you reveal yourself more to us as we seek after you? Amen.